What's good, everybody? We back with another episode of We Just Be Talking. It's your host, Gold. All right, y'all. So yesterday I couldn't upload. I'm just to let y'all know what happened. So I don't sleep a lot. I have very bad insomnia. I do. I don't sleep a lot. So normally what happens is it's usually about once every. I'll say about every 6 to 8 weeks. I'm not even being funny when I say this. Like usually every 6 to 8 weeks, I normally will crash where like I'll sleep like for like 12 hours almost. Like I'll sleep like for a very long time. Like 10 to 12 hours, I'm just gonna be asleep. It's like a whole day where I just hibernate. It happens all the time. But normally this happens on like a Saturday. Usually it's a Saturday. It's a random Saturday, and I'll just sleep the entire day. Like I just won't be able to do anything. But for some reason it hit me yesterday. It hit me earlier than normal. And I was knocked out. I slept from like I wanna say 1 that morning. But I get off at 11. So I went to sleep at like 1 or 2 that morning and I didn't wake up until 1 o'clock. Like I woke up to like I got up, used the restroom. Drunk some water, and then I came back in my room, and I was back knocked out, and I was sleeping till like 1 o'clock. I didn't wake up until 1 yesterday. And yeah, and then I went to work, and I was like, well, I don't have time to record the episode. I couldn't record yesterday when I got off because I had to do some homework, so I didn't have time. So you know, life and schedules and schedules and whatnot, things of that nature happen. So you know. Yeah, but here we are. So we're recording today. Yesterday I was gonna do like a play-in preview episode or whatnot, but I, of course, couldn't record the episode. That's on me. And I did post my predictions for the games because I said I believe that the Warriors will beat the Memphis Grizzlies, which they did last night. It was a very good game. It was a good game. The Memphis almost had a insane comeback from down 20. I said I feel that the Golden State Warriors gonna beat the Grizzlies, and then I said that the Magic were gonna beat the Hawks. The Magic dog walked the Hawks. It was pretty bad. And then I said for today's games, I believe that the Chicago Bulls will beat the Miami Heat. Yes, I'm a Miami Heat fan. You guys know this, but I really want us to lose. 'Cause I want us to just end the season. We might win that game, but I really want us to just lose and just go about our business. I don't want us to keep winning. And then I said that the I think I put the Kings. Did I pick the Kings? I should have picked the Kings. No, I picked the Mavs. I picked the Mavs to beat the Kings, I want to say. And then I said that the Grizzlies were going to beat the Mavs and make it to the what's we call it? I believe. I gotta go back and look and see now. I forgot my own predictions. It's crazy. 'Cause I was torn on that game, so I don't remember what I picked exactly. I said the Mavs beat the Kings, yes, and then I said that the Memphis Grizzlies would beat the Mavs for the eighth seed, and then the Hawks would beat the Bulls for the eighth seed as well. So I believe it'll be the Hawks and the Grizzlies make it. However, I'm not certain though, 'cause I don't know. After watching the Hawks yesterday, I'm not sure. I'm not sure, so I don't know. But yeah, we gonna see. We gonna see. But no, it's gonna be a good postseason, I believe. Like I'm looking forward to it. I think it's gonna be a great postseason. And I'm excited, especially for the Western Conference playoff series. I'm really excited for them. Like I can't wait to see the Nuggets in the Clippers series. That's gonna be a good one. That's a good 4 or 5 matchup. The Rockets and the Warriors too, because the Warriors became the 7th seed yesterday with their win. I think that's gonna be a really good series that people are gonna sleep on. Like, I think it's gonna be great. It's a lot of hidden storylines, and that one's like, you know, like the Rockets are like the young guns, you know. They have problems with offense. The Rockets' problem is not defense. Their defense is pretty solid. They have one of the top defenses in the league. I think it's maybe top three defense in the league. And they have everything really. They just don't have scoring. They have everything but scoring. They need better scorers. That's what it comes down to. Like, they need better scorers. And once they get like another like a OG like a vet OG type player to come in, like if they were to get let me try to think. If they were to get a KD Or even if they would have got a Jimmy Butler, that would have been great for them, because that's like get them like they vet. Like, yeah, they got vets and they got championship experience. Yes, they really do. Because Fred VanVleet is a champion. He won with Kawhi in 2017. That was 2018. Whichever year it was when KD tore his Achilles. I think it was 2018. I feel like it was 18. Let me think. Because 16 was the Cavs, then the Warriors, and 17, 18. 2019. But yeah, I feel like if they had like one of those, like a vet that could score, like a actually take off some scoring load with it, I think they probably would be easily people wouldn't sleep on as much as they do, because people kind of stun on the Rockets right now. Like the Rockets right now, they get no respect at all. They there. I'm like, but they've been playing well, though. Like, I don't think that they are, like, you know, bad by any metric. I think they're a very solid team. But you know how that go. It's always that up-and-coming team that people sleep on and kind of, like, don't really pay much attention to and be like, whatever, and all that. And it's like, all right, like, y'all doing a lot right now. Like, I get that they not the hot team to talk about, but I think they're still a threat. I'm trying to find. Yeah, okay, yeah. The Rockets are actually top three in defensive efficiency, I believe, this year. I think it says that. Let's see. Let's make sure. Got to pull up the right splits. Yeah. As of today's day, which is the sixth. Yeah, okay. So, yeah, the Rockets are actually the third best defensive team in the league, because Oklahoma City is number one and the Magic are number two. I'm going to get to the Magic in a second. But. Yeah, I do feel as though that the Rockets are going to be slept on. I think it's going to be a tougher series than people realize for the Warriors. I would not be surprised if the Warriors beat them. I believe that Sengun will have a pretty solid series. It's going to come down to whether Jalen Green will take the next step. If Jalen Green has like a breakout postseason, which we've seen before, we have the young gun that never been in the postseason. They hop in. They have the breakout postseason run and everything like that. It might happen. You never know. But if he has like a nice little run and he could average like a cool, I ain't gonna lie, he's gonna need about 25 or 27 a game this series. He's gonna need it. Sengun gonna have to drop in about a cool like 18 to 20 with about like 8 to 10 rebounds, which he should be able to get, because the Warriors are small. Another thing with the Warriors, they're small. But the thing with the Warriors is that they have the vets and the IQ that can make things work. Like, yes, they have the IQ can overshadow the deficiencies that the Warriors have, such as like the size. The size is a big thing for them, and having Jimmy take the load off of Steph is also a big plus for them, because they can give Steph. I like how they've been doing lately. I've noticed this trend they've been doing for as they got closer to the postseason, I've noticed this trend that they've been. Oh my God, what the hell? I've noticed this trend that they've been developing over the past about 2 weeks. So what they've been doing is really let Jimmy kind of run the show for the first three quarters. He's kind of score. Steph gets his. They give Steph enough touches to keep him in rhythm. Like, Steph is in rhythm. Like, he's not going to just not take any shots or do anything. He comes out really slow. He starts to get really slow. He just makes sure he gets his touches. He gets some shots so that way he won't go too cold. You know, he engaged in the game, but he not engaged in the game all the way. Then when it gets around, like, the middle of the third, beginning of the fourth, they run Steph. Everything's through Steph. And Steph end up having these insane quarters where he's dropping, like, 12 threes a game, six threes in a game, four threes in a quarter, like 14 points, 12 points, like that kind of, like, they're using him as the closer. They kind of modeling how LeBron kind of does it, where he's passive the first three quarters, and then in the fourth, that's when he kind of, like, locks in a little more on, like, defense at least, or tries to. It's a little smoke and mirrors with the LeBron thing, but I'm not going to get into that right now. It's a little smoke and mirrors with LeBron and everything like that. But that's kind of how the Warriors have started, because they'll kind of switch it to where, okay, Steph, you bring us home. Jimmy, you just play defense. Play defense, and if you need to get a bucket, get it. But your main focus right now is to defend and protect the lead, or at least keep us within distance by taking on the toughest assignment. So it works. It almost worked against the Clippers, but that game was just a wild game in itself because that game came down to the wire. Went to OT, of course, and it came down to the wire. I feel like that would have been the best 4-5 matchup we could have possibly got, but we couldn't get it. But I feel like the Warriors and Clippers 4-5 might have been a all-time great series. I'm just going to come out and say it. I think it might have been an all-time great series. Because Kawhi has been a different Kawhi this season so far, and I love it. I love it. He's healthy, and I love it. And Harden even has been great. Harden is an All-NBA player this year, in my opinion. He should at least be third. He should be third team, probably. I think he's third team, because for All-NBA, I would say first team is probably Tatum, of course. That's a given at this point. Tatum is the perennial first team All-NBA player now. For the most part, unless something catastrophic happens, I don't see him falling off for real. It should be like Tatum, Giannis, Joker, Shea, and I'm going to say Cade should be in the first team All-NBA as well, because I think he's been having a fantastic season. I think he deserves first team All-NBA. Second team, that's when things get a little tricky. I would say it would probably be, I might put Donovan Mitchell in first team over Cade because of the record, because what the Cavs have done this year. I know that's not what it's for, but I feel like I might put Spider ahead of Cade for first team. If not, Cade will be second team. So Cade and Spider kind of whatever with it, it's kind of back and forth. I would also say, let me see, I'm trying to think. The second team, I would probably say. I'm really trying to think. Who else? Because LeBron, I feel like LeBron could be third team. I'll put LeBron third team. I feel like it might be Steph will probably be second team. Steph been kind of, I don't know. I don't know if I could put Steph second team. Yeah, I don't. I don't know. I feel like I could put Evan Mobley second team for sure. Karl Anthony Towns, second team. Ant-Man. I'll put Ant-Man second team. I kind of would want to put Jaren Jackson Jr. as second team, but he might get dropped to third. I don't know. I might put him third. But let's see. So I put Kata Spider second, Ant-Man, Evan Mobley, Karl Anthony Towns. I'll say him too. He's had a phenomenal season. The Knicks not doing shit though, but he has a great season. And that fifth one, shit, it might have to be LeBron. I say LeBron, fuck it. LeBron second team, I think, this year, y'all. I think LeBron might be a second team All-NBA player. Third team, I'll probably say Halliburton, Sengun, Jalen Brunson. You know, he missed the end of the season. I feel like Jalen Brunson probably like a solid 13. It's based on the injuries. But I can't put like a Luka in there because he was hurt. He missed too many games. AD missed too many games too, so can't even have AD in there. Like he hasn't played enough. Kyrie was hurt. I'll say Harden probably 13. Harden, Brunson, Halliburton, Sengun, and I ain't gonna lie, I feel like Zubac should be an All-NBA player, third team. I know that might be controversial, but I think like Zubac is a third team All-NBA center. I wish they still did positions like that, but I feel like Zubac would be a third team. In my opinion, I say Zubac is an All-NBA player too. I think Zubac and Harden both deserve to be All-NBA this year. Third team. But that'll be my guess for, like, if I had to take like a vote for him, that's probably what I'll vote with. Because Zubac has been having a phenomenal season. He has been, and he's been very much so slept on. I feel like he deserves a little more respect and credit than he gets. You don't find many centers that average, like, in today's NBA, you don't find many centers that average damn near 12, basically? Like, 20 and 12? Like, you don't find many nowadays. And it's crazy to say, but you really don't. It's not many centers that's like that, like, traditional centers. It's really not. It's not many. Because a lot of centers nowadays lack in the rebound department because of how they play the game. A lot of centers really don't, like, they'll rebound, but the rebound isn't the same like it used to be back in the day. It's not. Like, you'll mess around and see a point guard in the top 10 of rebounds a game now. Like, right now, currently, like the league leaders this year, with the end of season off, they were all centers, of course. But matter of fact, Sabonis was number one. He averages 14. Cat averages 12.8. Joker averages 12.7. Zubac averages 12.6. Walker Kessler averages 12.2. Giannis is at 11.9. Rudy Gobert is at 10.9. Jalen Duren is 10.3. Sengun is 10.3. And Vucevic is 10.1. So you got those. And then when you get to the next tier, the next stage, like the next 15, that's when it get kind of jumbled up. Because you got Jared Allen, he averages 9.7. Bam is at 9.6. Josh Hart, there go the shooting guard, it's at 9.6. And you got Evan Mobley, 9.3. You got Okongwu is at 8.9. Jason Tatum is at 8.7. Zach Edey, fuck Zach Edey. He played like, I don't know why he played like he played. He pisses me off. He had 8.3. You got Ease Mizzy and Amen Thompson at 8.2. And you got Josh Giddey at 8.1. Like, you know, when you get to like that 20, I said 10, but I should have said 20. You get to that like that top 20 range there, it get jumbled up towards after you get past the top 10. And the top 10 are all like the main starting centers in the league, like the top centers in the league, basically, like the top bigs. And then you get to like the Josh Hart gets thrown there. You probably would have had Luka would have been up there too if it was a normal season for him, but you know, things happen. I'm surprised LeBron is at 22nd. That's interesting. Okay. But yeah, like, you know, it's not like it used to be where it was just like mostly like straight centers now. Let's go back to like 2006. That's crazy. No, 2006 had Bonzi Wells led the league in rebounds. Wow. Yeah, because in 2009, it was all big man until I got down to, yeah, these are all big man. Damn. Is there a guard here? Well, Gerald Wallace is a small forward, and now he was at number, like, 20. So, yeah. Rebounding gets weird. I know, look at it. Yeah, it was different back then. I'm looking at it now compared to how many people average double-digit rebounds. God damn. My Lord, I'm looking at it right now. This is crazy. Hold on. Wait a goddamn minute. Yeah, it was way more back in the day. I didn't realize the discrepancy between this now. This is crazy. Wow. Wow, wow, wow. I didn't realize how much the league had changed, bro. You don't realize until you start looking at numbers how much the league had changed. Damn. Wow. All right. Well, enough about that. I'm getting distracted. But yeah, I feel like it's about the all NBA teams, all defense teams. Those are kind of tricky. I feel like Dyson Daniels, of course, is first team. I feel like Giannis should be first team. Who else? Kind of hard for me to pick the defensive team. Zubac is first team for sure. Evan Mobley and Jaren Jackson Jr. Those are probably the first teams. That's probably the first team, all defense. Let's look at some predictions. See, okay, we can look at some predictions for it real quick because I'm trying to see where they might put it at. Nah, this is wrong. This is like from 3 years ago. I need one like this year, like recently, because they don't have positions anymore, which just makes it kind of weird. Let's see. I feel like Lou Dort should be there probably. I feel like Lou Dort might make it in. But let me think. I would probably say Dyson Daniels. I would say Evan Mobley. I would say Triple J. I would say Zubac. People might sleep on me. I'll say Zubac. And Giannis. And then I also say for the second team, I'll probably say Amen Thompson, the Thompson twin. I would probably say Draymond. I know people think Draymond won Defensive Player of the Year, but I don't feel like he deserves it. I would say Bam. I could probably say either SGA or Jalen Williams could probably be second team, one of them. Yeah, I said that's probably what I'll put. That's probably where I'll go with. I probably that sounds solid. I'll probably go with that. That sounds solid to me. But like I said, it just these awards get so weird now because it's positionless. So it's like you just pick whoever. So it's kind of harder now. Like back in the day, it was easier because I was like, okay, I could pick a center, a power forward, a small forward, a point guard, and a shooting guard. But now you just pick whoever. So I don't know. I think that Draymond's going to make a defensive team. I don't think he's defensive player of the year. I would give defensive player of the year to Evan Mobley. I would give it to Evan Mobley. I would. Because it would probably be like a Wimby. Wimby, if it would have been easy. It would have been like Wimby, AD. Wimby, AD would have made it for sure. So that's two spots gone, like off rip. If Herb Jones played, Probably would have made it too, but the Pelicans had such a shitty season. For MVP, I would probably say I want to give it to Joker, but I feel like they're gonna give it to Shea. But I feel like Joker should be MVP because averaging a triple double as a center is insane. Like it's like and the efficiency is what he averaged it. It's also crazy. And he's top three or four in like four categories. He's top three or four in points, rebounds, assists, and steals. If he played defense, he could get up there and block too. He only got to get like two a game, probably. He'll be up there. Matter of fact, let's go ahead and look at the stat leader for blocks. Let's go ahead and get that out the way. Literally, if he will get two blocks a game, he'll be top four. Literally, he just needed two blocks. That's it. But of course, he doesn't play defense for real. But man, I feel like Joker gonna get hold out of it because they didn't give it to Shea last year. They didn't give it to Shea last year, so I feel like they're going to go ahead and just give him his MVP this year. That's going to be his. They always do a year late. Like, they always do a year late. The year they should win it, they always give it to the wrong person, and they go back and fix it the next year. Like, well, we should have gave it to you last year, so we're going to give it to you now. Like, it's always behind, which is crazy, but that's normally how it goes with the NBA. The NBA, that's just what they do now. But yeah, I feel like those awards are pretty much locked in at this point for those. Defensive player of the year, like I said, I feel like it's going to be Evan Mobley. I feel like he should be the leading candidate for defensive player of the year just on what he brings on both sides of the court. Like, his plus minus is on defense and his defensive rating is insane. It's wild. Like, people just don't – I think he's not a hot name or popular, so people don't really know what all he does. Or they really like respect his game as much, but he does a lot for them defensively. He does. He most certainly does. Dyson Daniels also is up there for me for the first place. So I would say for me, it'll be between Dyson Daniels and Evan Mobley. I don't feel like Draymond Green deserves it for real. I know they're going to try to give it to him, and they very well might, but I just don't feel like he deserves it. Hell, I'll even say Lou Dort can be up there too in the talks about it. He'll be up there too. Let's see, MVP, first teams, NBA in defense, MVP. Most improved play is tricky. I know people are gonna probably want to say Cade, but I'm on the train of I feel like lottery picks that underperform because they had trash teams and then they have a good season shouldn't like get most improved. Like, I feel like most improved should go to like somebody that came from nowhere, like came out of nowhere, like a Zubac, for instance. You know, Zubac has been in the league for some time. I feel like those kind of people like that. I wouldn't even want to say Dyson Daniels because he was a lottery pick. I wouldn't even want to say him. Because, like, it's wild because a lot of these most improved players go to, like, these second picks nowadays. Like, Ja got it 2 years. Ja won rookie of the year. Had a slightly lesser season the second year. Then third season came back and won most improved, which was crazy. You had Brandon Ingram won most improved at one point. It's always like the second player drafted ends up going and getting most improved player or a lottery pick. But I feel like it should go to like a unknown, you know, like someone that isn't as widely regarded. Like, I don't feel like a K should get it. Because I don't feel like he's most improved. I feel like he's just doing what he's supposed to do. But I get the logic behind him. I just don't feel like I feel like he should go. I feel like he needs to like changed the way the award is like worded in a way. Like, because I feel like if you're a lottery pick, you're supposed to be good. You just didn't do what they thought you was going to do right away. But you know, they knew you were going to be him, but you just didn't live up to that right away. Or you didn't even have a bad season for real. You just got better. So I feel like Austin Reeves should get most improved player. Like, I feel like Austin Reeves should get most improved player this year. I really do. I feel like it should be Austin Reeves. Like, undrafted, no one believed anything about him, that he was doing anything, and then boom, look at him now. He's part of a big three. Like, he's a part of a big three. He's the Lakers' probably third best. He's arguably the third Lakers' third best player now. Like, easy. Matter of fact, I'm not even going to say arguably. He is the Lakers' third best player. Like, it is what it is. So, you know what I'm saying? Like, I feel like things like that, I feel like players like him should get, like, most improved. Not like a Cade or a Jai, you know, or even a Dyson Daniels. I just don't feel that. I feel like y'all just are finally playing to y'all potential. I feel like Austin Reeves had no bearing and all. Like, nobody believed he was going to do anything. Like, they didn't. He didn't even get drafted. If they thought he was going to be anything of importance, he would have got drafted. It just is what it is. I'm just being honest how the league works. But to me, my most improved player is Austin Reeves. Coach of the year. Coach of the year is the toughest coach of the year, I think, in league history to pick. Because I feel like four people deserve it, and all of them deserve it equally. I really do. You got Kenny Atkinson. For the Cavs, you got him. Led the Cavs. Cavs have had a best season since the LeBron and Mo Williams Cavs and them. Like, that's they've had the best record since then. No one thought the Cavs were going to be this high in the rankings. No one predicted that. I think the Cavs were predicted to be like a fifth or sixth place finish in the East this year. I believe so. They weren't. They've exceeded expectations. I also feel that. Is it JD or JB? Bickerstaff. I feel like Bickerstaff deserves Coach of the Year as well, because no one had the Pistons being in the playoffs this year. I'm not even going to sit up here and lie. Like, I thought the Pistons were going to be a next year team. I had the Pistons next year. I did. You ask some of my friends. If I wish I had some of my friends on there I talk hoops with, and they can vouch. But as I said, I feel like the Pistons was a year away. I like, they have the pieces. They just need another year. I think they just need another year. So, you got the Pistons. Coach this year, J.B. Bickerstaff, he should win. Which is funny because he was the Cavs coach last year and he went to the Pistons. But change of scenery is needed sometimes. So, feel like he should be in the running. Ime Udoka as well. Ime Udoka, because the Rockets are the second seed in the West. I have been a Rockets voucher for the past two seasons. I've been saying the Rockets are going to be that next team. Like, they're going to be like, it got okay, because Boston was Boston, and then OKC is Boston West, and then the next version of OKC was the Houston Rockets. I've been saying this for a while. I said the Rockets are really right there. They not that far. They got pieces that don't look like they match together, but I think they're going to be competitive, but they just need that one more vet piece, and they're going to be, like, really taking off. And they've just hit the second seed this year. And I would say, like, the Rockets going to be a top seed. I get them, like, top four. Like, I was saying this beforehand. I don't remember on my prediction show what I did. I feel like on my prediction show, I undersold them. I undersold them because I was thinking, I forgot what happened. I think something was going on. I overthought it, I think. Anything. So, my prediction show, I might have put them lower, but I definitely would. I've been a Rockets believer for a minute, so I feel like M.A. Doka, for his job he done with them, he should be in coaching your consideration. And last but not least, J.J. Redick. J.J. Redick should definitely be in coach of the year consideration, because for one, first year coach, 50 win. A lot of people didn't have the Lakers even finishing top four, and lo and behold, they finished third. They were the third seed in the West this year. That's where they finished at, and I don't think anyone had that. Yes, they had. Yes, he got the local trade had popped off and all that. However, you still gotta make the pieces work. You could trade at any point in the season, but you gotta make the pieces work. At the end of the day, it don't matter. You gotta have the pieces. You have all the pieces in the world for a puzzle, but you gotta put it together. Like, you can't just slap any piece together and think the picture gonna look right. You got to put the puzzle together properly with the pieces you have. So, you know, I feel like JJ should get it too. I feel like if any other year would occur, JJ would get it easy. But it's just the fact that the Cavs had their fantastic season. The Pistons had their resurgence that made it to the playoffs. Not play-in, playoffs. And yeah, I really think I think that it's a tough coach of the year decision this year. And also, I would even throw in Ty Lue. I'll put Ty Lue in coach of the year considerations as well. A lot of people had the Clippers finishing like 12th in the West this year. They had them going to the bottom. They think they were doing anything this year. Nobody believed in the Clippers. And look at them. They're the fifth seed. Yeah, the fifth seed. They're the fifth seed. So, again, I feel like it's a lot of competition for coach of the year. I feel like it's a lot of competition for coach of the year this year. But if I had to pick one, I'm gonna say who I feel should win it, and then I'm gonna say who I feel will win it. So I think who I would want to pick for coach of the year, I would probably say Bickerstaff. I would say Bickerstaff because the Pistons literally had like no expectations. Nobody thought the Pistons were going to be. They thought the Pistons were going to be the Pittsburgh in the league. They were literally like bottom feeders of the league last year. They were the worst team last year, literally. And they are now the sixth seed in the Eastern Conference. So I feel like JB Bickerstaff deserves Coach of the Year. And I feel like he deserved it because of the change in their culture just from 1 year, how he went from bottom of the East all the way up to the sixth seed. And they could have been higher than that, to be honest. They just lost some games to it. And they probably could have finished five or even fourth, which is insane compared to where they were last year. And they don't have that much of a different team. They have pretty much the same team. So I think that's pretty insane. I think they deserve it. However, I think that Kenny Atkinson is going to win it, though, just because of the Cavs turnaround with the record time win. So I think they tied the Cavs records, highest win total in team history, just tying and everything like that. I feel like they like right this. So I feel like Kenny Atkinson is going to win it. And also, I feel like if either one of these things didn't happen, I feel like JJ would have won it because of the fact he's a first-year coach with the Lakers, and people kind of had the Lakers kind of written off, and people's not following JJ high, and he's proven to be a hell of a coach. So I feel like he probably would have won it any other year outside of this year. But yeah, Coach of the Year is like the most interesting, not talked about award race in the league right now that nobody was talking about throughout the year. I feel like this, it's very competitive this year. Like this, you got a legit five that could win it, like easy. If it was any other season, it wouldn't even be this hard of a decision. But they've all had magical seasons all at once. So, yeah. But I'm going to end this show here with the predictions of the awards for the season, how the season ended and everything like that. Once the play-in game occurs tonight and tomorrow, I'm going to come back with another episode, probably Friday. It's going to be like the playoff preview once I get the exact placement, like who's going to be the eighth seed and whatnot. Once we get those figured out, Then I'll come back and do an actual postseason show, like predicting who's gonna win the whole thing and how the matchup's gonna play out, and you know how I think the series will shape up and who will win the potential future series. I'll get to all that after I get the final season. I don't like to talk about the playoffs when we still got playing games going on. Like I need the field to be solidified before I make my final decision. I don't want to go out for guts all the way. I want to at least give some analysts some analytical thought to it and whatnot. So we'll get to that once we get the season finalized, which tonight is the 8 and 9 games. No, the 9 and 10 games. I'm sorry. Today is the 9 and 10 games. And then tomorrow is the 8 seed games for like the losers of the 7 and 8 games and the winners of the 9 and 10. And then we'll have the I'll do the postseason show, the postseason preview for real on that Friday. And we'll drop that in. And then we get to play out Saturday and this weekend, we good to go. So with that being said, I'm going to bid you all adieu. Make sure y'all take care of yourselves and each other. And I will see y'all next time. Peace out. Also, tomorrow I'm probably going to do an episode too, like about, you know, off-season futures with teams that didn't make the playoffs at all. Probably going to do that too. Yeah, we're going to get to all that. But yeah, later.